We got lots to do today.
My bad.
I get to tell you, so we've had this running thing about what we're going to call it, and we let you, the preschool, where we're going to call it, and we let you guys vote on different things online, and then we had a logo, and you guys got to vote on the logo, so you're going to want your camera for this, I think, because I will never not live this up. This one won. In case you were wondering, if you are new to Element, I'm sorry. So I'm just going to jump in. If you are new, welcome. There are Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. If you don't own one, you can have one. If you forgot one, you can use one. There are sermon notes on the communion tables around the room. They look like this. And on the front side, you're going to hit the couple verses we will run over this morning. On the inside, you're going to get just a short recap of what we'll talk about. On the other side, you get a whole lot of notes because there's going to be a whole lot of people talking. On the back side, you get some questions to go deeper into what we're going to talk about. If you have a smart device, you can download an app. It is called YouVersion. Once you download it just says Bible, click on more, and then events in YouVersion. We will come up by GPS in your smart device, and you will get sermon notes, verses, questions, announcements, all that we go through today. My name is Aaron. I am one of the pastors at Element. Why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And this is Philippians chapter 2, verse 29, and it says, "So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him." Let's pray. Father, this morning, we ask that we would be those who honor people who work in ministry for the gospel to go out. And in one sense, that's all of us. But you placed a special call in certain people's hearts and lives to see ministry take place. And I ask that when we recognize that, we would honor your call in those people. We would honor you by how we honor them. And in the end, all things would come back to glorifying you. Amen. Have a seat. I know it's hot in here. We turn on the air conditioners in about, 2 minutes, you're going to want to put on your jacket because we overcompensate like that. But today, we are going to finish Philippians chapter 2 by doing something I have never done before. It was actually a year ago, and I had the idea to do what we're doing today. I sent an email over to Michael Reed, and I said, "How about we do this?" And he says, "Great. Tell me when we get closer." I said, okay, and I almost forgot, but we got it. So we've been taking these little bits and pieces of the book of Philippians, walking through them. We are 17 weeks in. We're going to cover the most verses we've covered, and it's going to be the shortest message, sort of, because I'm going to have other people share in the middle of this. Anyway, if you have a Bible, open up to Philippians chapter 2. It is on page 637 if you want to use one of those Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. And there is a reason why we're going to cover so many verses, and that Paul is moving to a place where he talks about being an example in life. After all that he has talked about in the ideas of humility and loving one another and pouring our lives out in all these specific ways, having one mind centered in Christ, he gives us two examples of what he has been saying. What does Christian humility look like in a life? Not perfectly, all right? Not perfectly. Nobody's perfect other than Jesus. And I cannot imagine Paul ever lifting up my life as an example of humility. I mean, can you? I don't mean thinking that Paul would lift me up, and I mean you. Do you think Paul would ever lift you up? You're like, oh, no. Gosh, I'm so weird when I say things like that. Anyway, when we look at the verses, this has a lot to say about example. A C.J. Mahaney once said that nobody's favorite verses are found in the verses we're going to cover today. I think it's true, but I think we could rethink that just a little bit. And when you look at examples of true humility, obviously, Paul's going to point first to Jesus. Everything is always about Jesus. Paul will point to himself about being poured out and not spilled in his life, but he will give these specific examples. And if you are here today and you are not a believer in Jesus, you're not a Christian, you may have all these thoughts about Christians. I know I do, lots of times, but maybe you've been turned off by the hypocrisy that you have seen people who claim the name of Christ display in their lives. You don't see anything about their life that's maybe different than your own. That's not how it's supposed to be. And please do not reject Jesus or this beautiful thing that he calls the church, which is not a building, it's a group of people. Don't reject Jesus because some of his people are hypocrites. The reason we have this thing called the church is we are on this journey together. And where else should messed up people go? But into this body of people that wants to walk forward and trust Jesus. So yeah, you're going to run into messed up people in the church. And yet, we are on this journey together. And so when we look at these verses, what Paul is doing is he's coming back to help us to see what examples look like. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, don't buy into people who love this thing called cheap grace. And he means people who claim the name of Christian but do not live any different than anybody else. Because when we truly love Christ, our lives begin to change. So this is what Paul speaks about. First off, Timothy. Philippians 2, starting in verse 19, he says this, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Oh, that sounds like today's world. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. I know you get to the end of it. It sounds like Paul's travel itinerary, but he's really telling you about Timothy. The second person he talks about is this guy named Epaphroditus, verse 25 of chapter 2. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give. So Epaphroditus, probably a leader in this Philippian church, he's sent to Paul because Paul was in jail. I've told you before, if you're in jail in a Roman prison, they don't take care of you. They don't feed you. Other people had to do that. So Epaphroditus goes with the gift to take care of Paul, and he gets sick and he almost dies while he's there. By the grace of God, he comes back from the brink of death, and Paul now wants to send him back to Philippi. Now, I was reading a bunch of different things about these verses, and not a lot of people say a whole lot. They're like, yeah, Paul says this, and then they kind of move on to something else. Stephen Lawson, in this book called Philippians for You, he talks about humility, service, and example. And he says five things. And that's where I want to start before we jump into where we're going today. The first thing he says is this. Humility is loyal. Humility is loyal. Paul's in prison in Rome. Timothy and Epaphroditus are right there with him. This is not a popular time to be associated with the Apostle Paul. He has been canceled. Nobody wants to be around him. When everyone is left, these two are right there. Timothy, like a child serving his father. Epaphroditus almost dies for the common call in Christ. And as God's people, we are meant to have an allegiance to brothers and sisters that goes deeper than biology. And just as Paul was used in Timothy's life to grow him, to understand who Christ is better, so we then are instruments in each other's lives. As we help one another grow to know who Christ is better, we equip one another. And so Paul is going to send these two guys to Philippi because really, who else is he going to send? And this is one of the reasons why we have the people we do here today outside, because they're loyal to Christ. We want to be loyal to them. We want to lift them up because in the end, who else would we send? This is who we want to send. The second thing Paul says, Stephen Lawson says, is humility makes us like-minded in Christ. And Paul has kept saying this throughout the book of Philippians. As we work in ministry, we're surrounded by co-workers in the gospel. So Paul, he's got Barnabas and John Mark and Titus and Onesiphorus and Tychicus and Timothy and Epaphroditus. And you're like, I got my friend Joe. Great, you got Joe. Okay, you got that one guy. Paul is talking about kindred spirits, one mind, one heart, and he keeps talking about that. And the way that happens is by understanding the gospel. I mean, so often we think the gospel is where I begin. No, the gospel is our entire lives and how we live. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It speaks into every place in our lives. We keep coming back. That's how we have one mind in Christ. Our common focus right there is to see Jesus to be made known to the world. So who is like-minded with you? You find those people and you live these lives, grow deeper and fuller in the places of our deepest adversity. When others leave, those remain. The third thing he says is humility is big-hearted. Like it says that Timothy is genuinely concerned. It's like nobody else is, but that guy is concerned for your welfare. Now, concern has a specific meaning and it indicates strong feelings towards something. And that word can be used negatively or positively. If you go to Philippians 4:6, Paul will say, be anxious for nothing. That's the same word. Concerned. When you're anxious, you're emotionally weighed down, you're burdened, you're fretting. In Philippians 2:20, it's used in a positive way. As this genuine concern for your welfare, to see you grow, to know who Jesus is, to live your lives out in this way. And that's how we're all called to care for those around us. Grace and truth. Fourth thing is this. Humility is then seen by how we live. Because if we really love Jesus, we understand the gospel, that's going to start to come out in our daily lives and how we live. The wording here in the first century has a sense of being put through some type of test to gain a positive result. So it's used of testing metal. You put metal into a fire and what is true remains and what is not true gets scraped off the top. The hotter that a furnace becomes, the purer the metal becomes. And that's what Paul is talking about. Most commentators believe that Timothy was now working with Paul for about 10 years, and he's still in his 20s, but he has all these scars to show his life of ministry. And so how do we live? And in terms of like 2 weeks ago, are we spilling our lives out? Are we pouring our lives out for the sake of the gospel? And this leads to the fifth thing, and that is humility works hard. Not for our salvation, that's been given to us, but because of what Christ did and his work for us, we then want to live that back out. Paul uses the word labored, which can be translated as served, but technically it's the word slaved. These guys served with Paul for the furtherance of the gospel, and that's no easy task if you know Paul's travel itinerary and what he did and now that he's in jail. It seems both these guys were okay doing menial tasks. There's a lot of people say, I want to be involved in ministry, but I don't want to do that. Okay? You laugh because it might have been you. All right. So we have these things like, I don't want to do that. They probably worked late, got up super early, worked hard with their hands, whatever was required to see the gospel go forward. Have we told you we're going to start this preschool? There's going to be lots of little ones, and we need help in the children's all the time. It's not beneath you. You may think, I can't do it. We'll train you. Show up. If you don't have a police record, show up. Yeah. Anyway, so what Paul's going to do is he's going to take and send these two guys to Philippi. Epaphroditus probably started in Philippi, right? So this is an 800-mile journey from Rome to Philippi. And if they started in Philippi, that's 1,600 miles on foot. No planes, no trains, no automobiles, no fluffy pillows, nothing. Just walking the entire way. If you like The Hobbit, Bilbo Baggins takes this journey in the book called The Hobbit, and he gets back and he writes this book called There and Back Again. Nobody cares. All right, so Paul has been showing and reminding us of the value that sees beyond ourselves, how we serve others, recognize the service in others, lift each other up. And at Element, we support lots of different ministries. And there are people who live this ideal in various ways. And today, as I said, we want to showcase a few examples to you like Paul does in Philippi. It's like Paul says, I'm tired of just writing about it. Now I want to show you what this looks like. And he sends these guys over. And so he ends the excursion by saying, honor people like these. We don't honor them as if it's all about them or their strength, but we want to see what God is doing in unique ways through unique individuals. And I think that in the end can encourage us as well. You can see where some of the money you give to Element goes. And when you go outside and you get to see them, don't worry, they're not going to ask you for money. You already support them. All right. So they're just happy to be here to see you and be like, hey, thanks. Right. And if you don't give to Element, I'm not trying to guilt you in any way whatsoever, but just to say, we should be appreciative of the work that they are doing and that God is doing through them and what it means to serve Jesus wholeheartedly. So with that, this is Nate. He's going to come on up. Nate is the principal over at Delta. Oh, you're running. You're like, come on down. It's like the crisis is right. So, do you want to hold it or do you want to stand there?
I'm okay either way.
All right, make sure. There you go.
All right. Hey, I'm Nate. I'm the principal over at Delta. And thanks for inviting us over. We're kind of somewhat a ministry. We're more just the needy people across the street and all the rest. Matthew 22 actually has a really funny story. It kind of starts off almost like a bad joke. A lawyer goes up to a rabbi and asks him a question. And he says, Rabbi, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And the rabbi, Jesus, says, hey, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And he goes, but the second is like the first. You also love your neighbor like yourself, right? We're your neighbors. You guys love us tremendously. And I got to say, from myself, the staff, the students, we totally feel it. We've got a very needy set of student group over there. If you're not familiar, Delta is a continuation high school, which means that all the students are behind in credits, have been trauma impacted, come from poor families, don't have a lot of great role models. And you guys have really kind of stood in that gap and provided those role models and all the rest. Not just through your financial support, through activities and things, but just people coming over and interacting. You guys are amazing. You guys have a great reputation for just loving on our kids. And it really, I don't think you realize, just normal impact and interaction has a huge, huge effect on people that are like, what is this? This is not normal. And you guys aren't normal. in a good way. But the thing is, when people meet Christ, or they meet people that are little Christs, all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, you guys are very different. You love sacrificially, you give and all the rest. And like what Aaron was saying, you're like, well, I may not have this or whatever, right? Even if you have a prison record, there are ways to get involved and love other people. I'm absolutely... probably not the youth ministry and all the rest, but there are a lot of great ways. I'm actually serious. You know, come talk to me at the booth out there. There's a guy that actually has a prison record that has impacted Christ, or impacted the world for Christ, more than you might imagine. He makes keychains just because he does leather work. Whatever gift God's given you, you can give to others. And if that's working with kids at Delta, that's awesome. If not, there's plenty of ways to do it. And so there's a lot of great ministries out there. I'm actually very humbled because there's just like amazing stuff going on. And I really would challenge you, be a part of something, because when you're active in giving, that's when the great part of being part of the body happens. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, so we're going to go across the street to the other side of the world.
Hello, we are Tom and Jing from Sunshine Center Ministry in Thailand. We would like to introduce the variety of activity we do. Let's start with the children program. We build relationship with the children. First, let them play together, sing and dance together. Tom tells story from Bible and tell them about the love of God. We learn English together because it's very good to know how to speak English. We do activity together like handicrafts, and sometimes we cook together and enjoy have dinner together. These are scholarship students. Scholarship is a lot of helpful for young people. It is an expenses for their school supply, uniform, food and transportation. And importantly, it helps us to reach young people so we can share about God to them, tell them they are valuable, tell them to love themselves and protect themselves from many bad things and drugs. We take them to youth camp. It's very good they have opportunity to be in the atmosphere of great worshiping and see many young people are Christian. It inspires them to interested in knowing more about God. We spend time with the youth, let them practice music and worship song together. Many young people are decided to accept Jesus and have been baptized. We go to visit people in the village. We make relationship, talk to them first, and when they start to open their heart, we share the gospel and pray for people who are sick. We have home group meeting every Friday. We worship and pray together and share testimony, encourage each other. We join with the local church, Tom preaching every other week, and teach young people. When we have big events like Christmas event in the village or Christmas event at school, the church can help us with many activities. This is the land that we're preparing to build our center. Because our center now, we're renting a house that is quite narrow and there is no outdoor area for activity. This is our center now. We appreciate Element Church and everyone who supports Sunshine Center Ministry and our family. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are going to be doing a trip there if you would like to go so you can get more information. Is that going to be outside too? Or is it at the Welcome Center? Randy and E's booth right out. So there. Oh, and I'm going to introduce Randy. Where was Randy at? Right there. So Randy's going to come up. Here's the thing. Aren't you glad we don't baptize you in that river? It's like, we're going to throw some dirt in the pool. You're going to feel like you're in Thailand. It'll be great. Here's a parasite. No, you guys, honestly, you guys pay their entire budget. Their salary, their entire budget for that ministry. So this is Randy. We got introduced to Tom and Jing by Randy, kind of twisted his arm over a couple years to find us somewhere we could kind of plant a church there and do this. But anyway, so here's Randy.
Thanks, Aaron. Okay.
Hello, Element Church.
Good. Wow. I'm so excited. And I just want to commend you for whatever you've seen there. This is because you have really poured yourself into this ministry up there. And boy, I tell you, the timing couldn't have been better. Tom and Jing are in a new province, the newest province of Thailand. They are doing fantastic. The church is growing. Their outreach is growing. And they have got plans that I can't even speak of today because God keeps giving them many, many visions of how he's going to see the younger generations especially be reached, even though they're reaching all generations. But like I say, from everything you've seen there, there is a wonderful, wonderful church there and an outreach, and the young people are turning to the Lord. Every day they're seeing breakthroughs. So we're very excited about that and very excited about what we see coming in the future with their outreach center. We ourselves, Randy and Edie, live in Bangkok. We have a ministry in a city called Pattaya. It's one of the known human trafficking areas for many, many years. And over the years, we've seen great breakthroughs. We have a wonderful team there now that reaches out to women there. If you want to find out more about that, please talk to my wife. She can share with you some more details. Again, we are seeing just amazing breakthroughs in that city. It's turning from a very dark city into a greater, a more of a family city. And things are changing year by year. So we're so thankful for the time that we've seen there. Additionally, as I say, the time for Thailand is now. Something new has just broken out, corresponding with even what you see going up in Bungan, where Tom and Jing are, is that Thailand is becoming more open to the gospel. So this year, that's come through about 28 years of nationwide prayer, and I've been there the whole time as a part of that as well. So I can tell you that this is an unusual time. We're seeing people very open to the gospel, and commensurate with that, the pastors and leaders that I work with in Bangkok have launched a plan this year called Everyone Thailand. And the plan is to open up where Thailand is 70 million people, 1.2 million are Christian. Many, many people have never heard the name of Jesus even one time. So how do we do that? Though, of course, many people think, well, why don't you go out and hold these outdoor evangelism crusades and just share the gospel? And the Thai in the past said, oh, no, the Thai people will never receive the Lord that way. But I want to tell you today, something new is happening. And any time we open up any meeting, either big or small, we did this last year in a shopping mall on the top of a brand new shopping mall. The owner of the mall gave us a seating auditorium that seats 3,000 people. She got up on the platform and said, anytime the Christians want to use this place, it's for free. The mayor opened the meeting up. We had two nights with over 1,500 to 2,000 people show up. Each night, more than 600 gave their lives to the Lord. So thank God there's something new beginning. And now from that, we're going to see an opportunity next between October of this year and April of next year. We're going to be praying a lot to see seven different regions with major cities have these big outdoor or indoor open air, two to six to 10,000 people will come. And again, the goal isn't that only just to share the gospel. And of course, we want them to see incorporated into churches and we want them to be discipled, absolutely. But with so many people who've never even heard the name, if we can just share the gospel message, so in that day, they will know who Jesus is. So we're so excited about that. And thank you so much for your commitment to us, to Tom and Jing. You're making a big difference in Thailand. Thank you, Aaron.
I got to tell you, everybody's a talker. So I'm like, he goes, 35 minutes? And I said, no, 3 to 5. 3 to 5. That's what you get. Okay, so from one side of the world to the other, how do you get to the other side of the world? Here you go.
We are Brian and Bailey Pruitt. We, along with our three kids, Macy, Dylan, and Cole, while we were previously in the Philippines for 12 years, we would fly our church planting missionaries who lived in areas with no road access to provide them with anything that they needed to be able to be in their these remote locations, teaching people God's word and translating the Bible into these languages that are not even written down. And so anything they needed, we would provide, whether it was medicine or just transportation to and from town or school supplies or housing materials to build their houses. That's what we were a part of, was just sustaining them so that they could continue their teaching and their translating of God's word into these languages that are not known. That's what we did for 12 beautiful years.
Yeah, so after our time in the Philippines working on that team, we were asked to join the team here in the U.S. and to train others to go and do what we did and to help launch some new helicopter flight programs. And so we're now here in Arizona. We do a lot of flight training. We do maintenance training. There's a lot of technical training that goes into it. Pilots are here for about a year doing just the helicopter training before going to the mission field. And during that time, the wives are here as well. And they're usually they're young families. And so Bailey has been a really big part in discipling the young moms and ladies before they head overseas. And is able to share with them her experience and just give them a lot of pointers on what life is like overseas, what to expect, just sort of giving them a heads up some of the stuff they're going to be facing ahead of them. So it's a really big deal. It's a whole family endeavor, not just the pilot that gets trained, but
the ultimate goal is to make God's word accessible to every nation, every people on earth. And so we have sought to find those places that are just at the very ends of the earth that haven't been reached, that are just hard to get to, and so no one is going. That's where we want to go, and we're just really excited to be a part of it. And so you guys are a part of this team, and you have been for several years now, and I'm really thankful for you. Just hope that you really feel like you are a part of the team just as much as we are, because you are. We couldn't be here without you and your encouragement and your support. We just want to say thank you to you all for the part that you have in all of this too. It's a worthy endeavor, and we're just honored and privileged to be a part of it alongside you all.
I know you're getting a lot of information. I get it. All these will be outside. You can talk to them. That's why I gave you notes. You can write notes. Oh, I want to go talk to these people. Now we're going to come back a little more local. There's a ministry called Captive Hearts. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to you about how the first time we met them, and they came in and they said, "This is what we're doing." 5 minutes in, I'm like, "What do you need?" And they're like, "Oh, you could pray for us." I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you need?" You know, because you're going to ask for money. What do you need? And we are instantly in. So, is it Sid or Leah? Who's coming to? Both of you guys. Okay. So we were talking about Captive Hearts. Oh, there's stairs on that. Just, there you go.
I'm tall. Good morning. My name's Sid Sebring. I'm one of the CEOs at Captive Hearts. Leanne Smith is my partner in crime, and she's not here today. She and I run it together. I have with me the lovely Lilia, who has graduated our program recently and is going to give a little, some highlights from her testimony. I wanted to say, you know, about that meeting with Aaron when we came in, the Lord had told us that day $5,000. And we're like, I don't know. You know, we don't really ask for that. So we came in and hemmed and hawed, and it was what he said. And he goes, "Bottom line, what do you need?" And we're like, $5,000? And he's like, "Okay, done." And we came to some of the services. We've been featured here a couple of times before, and are in love with the church. So thank you so much. The church gives to us monthly at the end of the year, and we need that. We need that. So Captive Hearts, what we do is we help women that are coming out of dangerous or traumatic circumstances. Everything from domestic violence, human trafficking, addiction. Leanne and I are licensed addiction specialists, and we have 20 years of experience, and Captive Hearts has been around a long time, and we have women from every walk of life. We have some that have been raised in very stable families. Addiction's not selective. It doesn't just go to broken families or street people. I'm sure most of you probably have been touched by it somewhere in your life. So it's not selective. And what we have is we own a home, which we didn't before. The last time we were here, I think we were still renting, but somebody graciously gave us a down payment. So we aren't kicked out when they want to sell their home, thank God. So now we have a mortgage, but we can stay. We have a home of our own. And we have a very structured program. It is a discipleship program, and it has evidence-based curriculum where we're really, the unique thing about Captive Hearts is we're really treating the whole person and not just their primary area of struggle. It's the whole goal is to connect them with the one true healer and let him do his job. And so right now I have Lilia, are you ready? Who's going to give a minute or two of her testimony. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm very grateful to be here. And right now I'm going to share a little snippet of my testimony and what life has been like for me. So, hi, my name is Lilia. I'm 18 years old, and I have been saved by Jesus. Thank you. Growing up, addiction was something that ran in my family, a bondage, a stronghold. At age 14, I learned that escaping reality and numbing my feelings was how I would function through my teenage years. I was spiritually broken and lost. Sin was running my life entirely. I was to be found in a psychiatric hospital or handcuffs, places I never wanted to be in. The enemy had a hold on me. Experiencing trauma after trauma, there was no way out, no hope left to have. My recovery journey started in August 2024. I needed to be set free, and Captive Hearts is what showed me that was possible. God provided me with a place of healing and comfort, an opportunity to never have to turn back to my old behaviors if I didn't want to. The woman there strengthened my confidence and introduced me to what a life might be like sober, walking hand in hand with God. I made the best decision I've ever made going into that home. It saved my life, truly. They helped me build a support system. They helped me heal from trauma. They helped me learn how to have integrity grace and resiliency. Captive hearts softened my heart, and once I put my trust into Jesus and this program, I could breathe again. Everything was going to be okay. After going through this program, chains have been broken. I can be present for my loved ones and live life to the fullest. I will never know how to fully express the gratitude I have for Captive Hearts Ministries. At the end of the day, the glory does go to God for guiding me on this path to peace. My life turned around, and today I have a purpose. I am almost 9 months clean and sober. I am working at a restaurant and plan on pursuing my dream to attend beauty college in the fall. With my own commitments going on, I still find time to volunteer at Captive Hearts to give back what was given to me. So if God has blessed me with the life I have today, He can do the same for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Lilia. So we've had lots of graduates recently. We have one that was recently reconciled. She's in the process of being reconciled with her children, which... to give you details would be too long, but was an impossibility when she first came in. We have another who's getting her master's in social work now, and she's come back to intern with us. So we have a lot going on, and we just love seeing them back. The program is 6 months very structured, and then 6 months where we're kind of transitioning back into, you know, taking on all these things that we've had them cut themselves off from, you know, just life on life's terms. But we really have aftercare for a lifetime if they want it. So we also have, and I just want to mention this, at the end of June, we have a golf tournament coming up. Does anybody golf? Anyone at all? No? One, yes, bring your friends. I have some information on it about that. So anyway, I want to thank everybody. If you guys have questions for me, if you know anybody who needs help, I'm out here right outside the door on the left. Please come talk to me after the service, and thank you so much for what you do for us.
Disc golf tournament, maybe? Yeah. See? It's like, oh, throw a frisbee at something. Yeah, we're into that. So lastly, you typically hear us talk about how Elements, one of our things, we want to plant churches. So we thought we'd end with our church.
Hello, I'm Ben Collins, pastor of Antioch Church up here in San Luis Obispo. One of the things that you'll experience if you ever come and visit here at Antioch is that the name of Element is just part of the lore here for Antioch Church. It's a name that brings smiles to people's faces because your prayerful support, your financial support, just the leadership support that your elders have provided to me, their pastoral oversight and counsel, it's been irreplaceable. And I'm so thankful for Element Church and the fact that God brought that relationship into existence. And we just would not have been able to do what we've done without your involvement and God's use of you to be a part of our story and sending us out. And I truly think that your sending of us was in a manner worthy of God. We began actually a few years ago with a Bible study in a neighborhood with some people who had really never read the Bible before. And through that gathering and that Bible study, those people eventually started to follow Jesus and put their faith in Him. And that group became kind of the beginnings, the core of Antioch, and the friendships that were developed there led us to really become a church and start to understand what that meant. And we met in different homes and started to meet other neighbors, and people started to join. And then last November, we were in need of finding a new place to be. And I toured this awesome facility called the Octagon Barn here in San Luis, and then went back to our people and said, hey, you know, they said that they actually have a church that's meeting there. And so we need to fast and pray right now, starting this Sunday, for God to open a door for a place for us to be this winter. And what I didn't know was that on that very same day, here with that church that was meeting here in the Octagon Barn, they announced that they were going to close their doors the next Sunday. And so I had a very funny conversation with the gal from the Land Conservancy. He said, did you know something about this? And I said, honest to God, I did not know anything about this, but it was such a privilege and a pleasure to go back to our people and say, look at what God has done. Look at how He's opened this door that was shut.
What I think makes our community unique is the time in the main Sunday service dedicated to the community of the body of Christ having a voice. So sharing what happened in your week, sharing over a meal after the sermon. And I think the quickness with which relationships get formed is unique compared to other churches that I've been a part of, and feels like it's really something special.
We've also grown in our community. We've started two missional communities. I know you at Element know what those are. And so those have been meeting here for months, and that has been a real joy for us to enter into that fellowship and seek to serve one another and our community and reach out with the gospel. Also looking to deepen and fortify the friendships that have been built here and invite more people into them. As I've shared that with other church planters, they're just amazed of how God used you to bring about something new and true, good and beautiful here in San Luis that Antioch has been shown through you.
They are not here today. They're actually meeting on Sunday morning. So there's an important principle in Christian ministry, and that is ministry that costs nothing usually accomplishes nothing. Say that, what I mean is when God moves, it typically costs something. It could be reputation, energy, time, money, obviously. We have all been called to advance the gospel. And so we have to figure out, you know, what is that cost in our lives? In what area of your life do you need to trust God and begin to walk forward? Maybe you are in the midst of a very difficult situation right now. How you walk through that trial is going to be an example to those around you. I think God is always purposeful in everything we go through. Sure, we make dumb decisions all the time, but God can always bring something in the end that glorifies Himself and grows us in the midst of it. Nothing needs to be wasted. And God's purposes for us in all that we go through is to conform us more to the image and likeness of His Son and for the gospel to go out. So, if you are single, you get to be an example to people in the world who are married and single of what it means to follow Jesus. If you are married, you get to be an example to people who are single and married, not of a perfect marriage, but a marriage that owns its shortcomings and is real with others. When I do counseling for couples, I try and find a married couple who reminds me of the couple who's getting married, and I try and send them to dinner at somebody's house so they can talk through all this stuff. A couple I had this couple, and I sent them to this husband and wife to have dinner at their house. And the day that they were supposed to go have dinner, the wife calls me and says, "I don't know if this dinner is a good idea. My husband and I are not doing well. Like 2 weeks, we just want to kill each other right now." And I said, "That is a perfect time to have someone come over." Because after 3 decades of marriage, it still happens, and life is difficult. You're an example. If you're an employee and you're at a workplace, you get to work for Jesus, even if your boss is Darth Vader or Thanos or Sauron. Even, you don't know, are they angry or mad? I don't know, but you get to work as you're working for Jesus. If you're an employer, you get to be an example to service to your employees. If you're in a workplace and somebody treats you horribly, you get to speak grace and truth. Why do you handle that the way that you do? With grace. Because I know the truth. And it doesn't mean you just get run over. What it means is you get to speak about why you can have the life and live it the way that you do, even in the midst of adversity. If you are a teacher, you get to be an example of God's love to these young people. And I mean in school, but I also mean at Element. If you volunteer in one of the kids' rooms, you touch those young lives. By the way, did I tell you we always need help in our kids' rooms? Depends on what the criminal record is. Maybe we'll still take you. I don't know. Okay. All right. If you are in a family, you get to be an example to that crazy uncle or that weird aunt or that overbearing parent who wants to tell you how to raise your kids because they did such a good job with you. You know, you get to be an example. If you don't have any of those, you're probably that person. Friendships. If you are friends with anybody, you get to speak of Jesus' love and His service and His calling, pulling us from sin, leading us to grace. And if you say, "I'm none of those things," you still get to be an example. You do. We all do, because God has called us to himself. Extended grace, adopted us into his family. And there are lots of letters that need to and get to be written, and it doesn't need to be with pen and paper. Our lives are those letters of God's goodness to all of us. And so what I want to ask you is, if God said, I'm going to lift you up as an example, what would that be an example of? You're like, oh, right? I don't say that to shame you in any way, but to call you, like Paul has been doing, to something greater. Paul says, what I've done, you can also do. You get to be an example of God's grace and his peace and his love and his mercy. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, they all need to hear about this, because everybody struggles with anger and self-centeredness and pride and lust, and we get to be poured out as an example. And we now get to help others walk through their hardest places. We are examples of knowing God's love and God's grace. I'm going to actually ask Mark to come up, because I want to get you guys outside as fast as I can. You hear noise? They're actually walking the kids through all the things that are outside so they can see and the kids know the things that we support as a church. And so I'm going to just say to you guys today, you know, when we ask that question, what are we an example of? We want to come back and be open and honest about that, because sometimes it's difficult to answer that question because we do feel bad. I look at my life, look at the type of example I've been in my life. Who you were is not who you have to be. God calls us to something new. There is grace and hope and reconciliation. And this is why every week we take you to the place of communion. It is a reminder of God's grace. And so I want to invite you to take communion, break the cracker like Christ's body was broken for us, dip it in the wine or the grape juice. We don't pass it throughout the room. It's a response as God calls your heart. If you need prayer, even though there's all this going on out there, we would still love to pray for you. If God's calling you to something in your life and you're kind of a hard time figuring out what that is, we'd love to pray and walk through that with you this morning. If you have any prayer requests, we'd love to be able to do that. If you'd like to give, you can give to one of the offering boxes on the side wall. You can give online. Most of Elements Giving is actually online these days because we don't know how to live offline. If we have a solar flare and it takes out the internet, we don't know what we're going to do. But you can give online. And we give because God has been generous to us, so we are generous to others. We have a thing where in Elements budget, everything that comes in, we set aside at least 10% to go to where we leave projects and church planting. Over the last, since COVID, I think we've given away more than 3 times that every year to all these different things. You know, if you want to give, I believe it's part of our worship, but we do not pass a plate. It's something you actually have to do. And I encourage you, just take those sermon notes, those questions on the back, and maybe walk through those with somebody this week. We are just to do 2 songs because I want to get you guys out there to meet these people and spend some time out there getting to know who they are. So I'm going to pray. The band's going to play. You can probably shut these curtains even right now if you want to. Forget it. Don't shut the curtains. It's a different day. We're going to be fine. If you're new, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but there's this loud noise that goes, bah! And the curtains close. Don't worry about it. Come back next week. We'll see what I'm talking about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being so gracious and good, for giving us examples that we can honor. And as we honor them, we are truly honoring you, because it all comes back to what you have done. We have been rescued by you. And so what we want to do is extend our lives in ways that we can give that grace away that we received. The rescue we have received, we want to offer to others so they would know what we know. And we understand that it doesn't mean that everyone's always going to listen, but we want to be faithful to your call. We want to trust you because you are the one that we worship. You are the one that we center on. And even though we honor people, ultimately, we want to glorify you. So take us today and have our hearts and our minds recenter upon you. And as we step out into this world, to be aware of what our example is and have your spirit move us in ways that we'd remember to lift you high. We ask this in your son's good name. Amen.